You'll turn your Bibles to Psalm 127, please. Cliff, thank you. 127. All right, let's all stand together, please. Tonight's message for all of you to understand is I am going to go back over and reintroduce the Pilgrim Psalms. So we're not going to cover a psalm tonight. We will go back, Lord willing, to 126 next week. We did last week 127. For all of you that want to know why I didn't cancel, can I tell you why I didn't cancel church? I might have told you. Last night, Chicago was not in the playoffs. They couldn't even be in the playoffs in high school football. The Kansas City Chiefs played a football game, and the temperature was exactly the temperature we have right now. So fans were outside in a stadium for 4 hours in -7 temperature. And I really couldn't think of a good reason why Christians couldn't be in a building that's warm for an hour. And I'm not being goofy. If it would have been bad weather, snow blowing, I'm not going to endanger people. But really, it's cold? I know it's cold. But I think it was cold for people watching football too. What do you think? All right, we are going to read some weird verses. One of the things I was evaluating and reading these texts over and over, preparing for Psalm 128 and 129 specifically for future weeks, 126, I pretty much know what I'm going to do. I started noticing these pilgrim psalms talk about a lot of things. It's kind of weird. Verse 3, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." She's like, that's kind of weird. We're talking about going to Jerusalem. We're talking about children. Chapter 128, please. 128 and 129, it's almost impossible to read them back to back. They are like as far opposite as you can possibly be. "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and that walketh in his ways." That is extreme positivity. Yes? "For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be," same word as blessed earlier, Sherry, "and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord." 129 verse 1. "Many a time have they afflicted me from my..." What? What? By the way, welcome to the Psalms and welcome to the end of Billy Baptist religion. Because the Psalms deals with... this three Psalms deal with children to being blessed by God to the strifes and struggles and problems that we have in this world. Boom, boom, boom. So the reason I'm teaching this tonight is to say this. Singing as we go is not singing your favorite rah, rah, rah psalm. It's actually being able to read the psalms and recognize our experiences are going to be varied. We're going to have many different experiences. Friends, and I don't know, I've been here a long time. We've had deaths my whole time here. My dad died back in 2013. Mike, when did your mother die? 14. Mr. Losey died, I think, in a similar period, in that similar era. We have lost people. Somewhere around COVID, we just started losing family members one after another after another. And we all know this, yes or no? I am not talking about being depressed. The Psalms deal with life. They are not happy, happy Psalms. They're Psalms about life. So learning to sing as you go along is the emphasis tonight. Let's pray together and we'll get started. Father, thank you for this beautiful, these beautiful texts. These are Psalms structured for very specific reasons. Help me to be able to share these ideas in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Read with me the introductory verses, please. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. By the way, nothing negative. The psalmist recognized that he lived someplace, but he didn't live there forever. It was a pilgrimage from beginning to end, and that he had things that he sang to himself in that process. Psalm 42:8. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. Psalm 32:7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. James 5, verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? What do you do? No, you gossip, you complain, you whine, you fall apart. No, you learn to pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Soletto, just the verb. Learn to sing. Friends, what I'm going to talk about tonight, it becomes part of your DNA. And can I say this for our young people? We have some young ones here, quite a few. Look at me. This is something no one can do for you. This is something that you will have to own yourself. When the singing, speaking to yourselves, the scripture, becomes your song, not somebody else's song. Not somebody, it's not mama's, not papa's, not the church's, not Pastor Warren's. It has to become you. And friend, it becomes like part of your DNA, or it doesn't. It's long gone. My children never experienced it. But until my grandfather died, John was 1 year old, my whole life, every Christmas was simple. You went home, and everybody in my family went to see Grandpa and Grandma. You didn't have a choice. In my family, it was a different kind of family. It wasn't better or worse. Just Grandpa was rather bossy, and he was exceptionally loud. Can I say this to you? If I got as loud as I can, that was his talking voice. And I'm not, Jenny, not exaggerating. There's only one person I ever heard louder than my grandfather, his sister. Ooh, Aunt Lita was a legend. Say, why do you bring this up? It was part of my DNA. We did the same things. Gathered at Grandma and Grandpa's house, ate too much food, laughed too much, lots of people, very loud, conversations ranging from all kinds of crazy things. I had a difference that no one in this room could have. Almost everybody in my family worked at the same place. Seven of my mother's eight living brothers worked there. Grandpa worked there. Dad worked there. And one of the brother-in-laws worked there. So it was the whole family. It was Laclede Steele, Alton, Illinois. They all worked there. So what they did was argue. And then politics. And I had Republicans in my family and Democrats. And they argued. Now, it didn't mean much because right after they get in an argument, it's like, it's time for apple pie now, guys. I mean, it didn't matter, but it was just part of your DNA. Laughing, playing, politics, cards, from euchre to canasta to board games to laughing to goofing off. And, oh, by the way, I forgot. And then somewhere in there they had to start talking about what the best truck that God ever made was. And it was. And by the way, I grew up among folks that weren't educated. They weren't thinkers. They're good folks. So you went from grandpa, he believed that God dropped a Dodge truck out of heaven. And then there was my dad, he thought Ford was dropped out of heaven. And it was just, and some of it was stupid and funny. What am I saying? It becomes part of you who you are. Do you understand? That's what the songs have to become. The songs, specifically the Psalms, the teachings of Scripture. Singing as we go in life. Again, I say to you younger folks, Mom and Daddy can't do this for you. It happened to me, Superman. I know exactly when it happened to me, when I went to boot camp. Because all of a sudden, Mom and Dad's not there. It's you and God, and it's only you and God. And, you know, you grew up in a better home overall than I had, in that sense, Christian side. But I got news for you. You still have to claim it as your own. And for me, it was boot camp. That's when it became my own. In your notes, what do we find here? Well, in these Psalms, the Pilgrim Psalms, they teach us the concept of singing, but not happy songs, not sad songs, all of the songs, because all of it's part of the journey. Number one, we find ascending up to Jerusalem. In your notes, I say that the Lord established a place of his own choosing. Before the Israelites arrived in the Promised Land, when they were in Egypt, and when they were leaving Egypt, coming toward the Promised Land, God revealed to Moses, and he said many, many places. By the way, I give you a smattering. There's probably 20 plus in the book of Deuteronomy. In your notes, Deuteronomy 12, verse 5 says this, "But unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose." We didn't know the name at this time. They weren't there yet, but God had chosen a place that was to be the center of the Jewish nation. It was to become part of their DNA. And they were, as we'll learn, ascend up to Jerusalem, always back to Jerusalem. 12, verse 8. "You shall not do after all the things that you have done here this day, every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. For you are not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance which the Lord your God giveth you." Verse 10, "But when you go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit, and when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, so that you dwell in safety." So it's, you're not there yet, but you're moving there. You're coming to the place. Verse 11, "Then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose." Verse 14, "But in the place which the Lord your God shall choose." Folks, it's really simple. God chooses a place. The Jewish believers were to gather there. That was central. I say in your notes, the place would be in Jerusalem. And Jerusalem, as we all, I think all of us know in this room, Jerusalem was the highest point in the Promised Land, and it was the spiritual center. So it had a dual focus. When you went up to Jerusalem, that was the high point in the whole nation, and it was the spiritual place where God wanted everything to be centralized in Jerusalem. So ascending up to Jerusalem, it was a normal concept because that was the place God chose. Of course, in your notes, you find this all through the New Testament. I list a few of the passages. In Luke 2:42, they went up to Jerusalem. Luke 18:31, "Behold," Jesus said, "we go up to Jerusalem." Luke 19:28, "ascending up to Jerusalem." John 2:13, "Jesus went up to Jerusalem." 5:1, "he went up to Jerusalem." I mean, it's because it's the high point and it's the spiritual center. So everything centered there. Secondly, ascending in obedience. These songs were songs. The first one and the last one and every other one. Folks, I'll say this quickly. No one here can know this. One psalm says it differently. Every psalm says it exactly the same. A song of ascents or a song of steps, stairs, something to that effect. One psalm has a lamed for some reason in the title. But they all say Shir Hama'alot, a song of decrees. A song of ascent. Decrees simply mean, degrees mean something to this effect. It's plural. What comes up? Steps, stairs, stair steps, degrees on a sundial, ascents. It's used all through the Old Testament for these reasons and a couple of others that I mentioned several months back. You're ascending up in obedience. Why in obedience? Well, for the Jewish people, they had to come to Jerusalem three times a year. All right, before I read, this is stated different ways. You actually have to be able to recognize that. So when I talk about Passover, if the Bible talks about Passover, it's probably also talking about the Feast of Unleavened Bread. If it talks about the Feast of Unleavened Bread, it's also talking about Passover. They're connected. So sometimes you're going to see with different names, but it's the same idea. There were three times of the year Jewish believers had to go, at least the men for sure, and assuming the family went with them, they went to Jerusalem. So, Exodus 23, three times shalt thou keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And by the way, unleavened bread would also be Passover. Verse 16, and the Feast of Harvest. Feast of Harvest will have another name in a little bit. It's called Pentecost. And then it also talks about the Feast of Ingathering, which is the very end of the season, the very remnants of the last part of the harvest. So three times in the years, all males were to go to Jerusalem. They were to do this in obedience to God. Just that simple. Exodus 34, 18. The Feast of Unleavened Bread shalt thou keep. Verse 22, and thou shalt observe the Feast of Weeks. Now it's changed. But it's still talking about that 50 days later of the first fruits of the wheat harvest. And then later in the Feast of Ingathering at the year's end, not our year's, the Jewish year, which is an October-ish period of time. That's how they reckoned it. So you again have those three periods of time. Leviticus 23. These are the feast of the Lord, even holy convocations which you shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month, at even is the Lord's Passover. And Passover is connected with unleavened bread. Don't read one and not the other. Don't get goofy. They're all connected. You have to go there for the unleavened bread and the Passover. Jewish believers did. Verse 16, even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall you count 50 days. 50 days. Hey. Pentecost doesn't, it kind of means 50, it means 50-ish. But it is 50, yes. That was Pentecost, which was the first gathering of the initial harvest. And you were supposed to go back to Jerusalem. Next page, please. Leviticus 23:33. And then it talks about the Feast of Tabernacles or Booths. And that was at the very end of the season in October of this period of time. Deuteronomy 16:16. Three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place. See, in Deuteronomy, we don't know the name of the place. We find out the name once Joshua's in the land and then later. So we don't yet know in Deuteronomy, but three times a year the male shall appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose. In the Feast of Unleavened Bread and Passover, and in the Feast of Weeks, which is Pentecost, 50 days later, and in the Feast of Tabernacles are the final harvest, which a couple of things happen at that period of time. But that's the whole point. Three feasts, three times a year. Well, we obviously have examples of this in the Scripture. One of the first examples of this is we find Samuel's father. It says in verse 1 of 1 Samuel, and this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And, of course, this was a period of time when the priests were wonderful people. By the way, there was not a permanent place yet. That was yet to come. You know, we're in the time of the judges right now. The judges was a great time. I do not know, by the way, if everyone look at me. I do not know if he went up three times a year. Or it simply stated he went up every year for this feast. Does that mean he didn't go for the others? And the answer, I don't know. But he did go, according to the Scripture, to this feast. Look at verse 7. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so, you know, and this gets into that whole drama of Samuel's family, not important for our discussion tonight. Verse 21, and the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. Just part and parcel, just built into their DNA. Obviously, we have this in Luke chapter 2, where it says, now his parents went up to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And then three times in the New Testament. So I want to say this. Everyone look at me, please. You're going to have people challenge you on beliefs. I cannot protect you from the people that will say things to you. You don't believe in Pentecost and all kinds of baloney. Can I say this to you kindly? Pentecost is not something to believe in. It was a Jewish feast. It meant the 50th day. You counted after the Passover the 7 weeks, and one day you had 50. And at that point, they had a Jewish feast. God did a miraculous thing in Acts chapter 2. But it was just a Jewish feast. And by the way, there were people from all over the world there. This will play into a later psalm that we will deal with in this category. Let's read this together. And when the day of Pentecostes, was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, well, that's not shocking, devout men, meaning somebody attached to the synagogue. And then it says, out of every nation under heaven. By the way, people came from all over the diaspora. Friends, we know some of this was in modern Iran, Iraq, Turkey, all the way to Rome, to islands, to Egypt. All of these places, Jewish believers came back and they came to the feast in obedience. It was built into their DNA. Paul, Acts chapter 20, verse 16 says, for Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted. Asia, by the way, being a province, Roman province in Turkey. It was a portion of modern-day Turkey. He says, if it were possible for him to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. Everyone look at me. Why did he want to go to Pentecost? Tell me. He was Jewish. You say, did he have to go? He was Christian now. You're missing the point. Jewish believers were allowed to continue these feasts. There was nothing wrong with these feasts. They were beautiful things. They represented God's blessings and other things. He wanted to be there. He was Jewish. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean we have to have a feast of Passover or Pentecost, but the ideas we should understand. It was part of his DNA. 1 Corinthians 16:8. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, until the 50th day. All right, we come to the next concept, ascending up among others. How important are people? Let me ask you, can you be a Christian all by yourself? Yes, you can be a Christian all by yourself. By the way, you get saved alone. You don't get saved with people. Can you be a successful Christian all by yourself? God never meant it so. God meant us to be with people. Old Testament, New Testament. The whole point of every one of these Psalms that we're looking at, 120 to 134, is you're ascending up among others. It's always something you did together. Always. It's always going to be that way. You say, Pastor, what if I'm in boot camp and I don't have others? I remember those days. Dada, you weren't saved in boot camp. When did you meet her? When did you meet her at church? That's what I want to know. Yes, and what kind of a church was that? That's really what I want to know. What kind of church was that? I didn't hear what you said, Louie. We're going to get in trouble. By the way, is it important to be with people? Friends, please look at me. You can be saved by yourself. And you can survive under certain, look at me, circumstances for a while. Long term, God created us to be part of a local church, and in this case, the Jewish nation. No difference. Luke chapter 2, read with me. So we're ascending up to Jerusalem. We're doing so in obedience. And in our case, we're not going to the literal Jerusalem, though that would be nice. We're going to the heavenly Jerusalem and ultimately to the new Jerusalem, which will descend out of heaven and the Lord Jesus rules and reigns from. That's where we're headed now. but we sinned up among others. It says in Luke 2:41, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled his days, the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Which tells you what? They went up there with enough people that you were just assuming my kids are with the other kids. You didn't go up there with just Mary, Joseph, and Jesus and nobody else. We have a house church, us three and no more. And I hear that kind of nonsense. No, they went there with a lot of people, and they just assumed, oh, he's overplaying. But by the way, do we have any kids in our church that you can't assume that of? Is there a guy named Braden that comes here? Is there a guy worse than him? Evan. Evan has one speed. You say, what is that speed? Faster than me. My daughter comes in here. By the way, they come to my office, and the first thing I hear is like, I don't know, somebody's scratching on the door. I don't know what they're doing. And then somebody's at the door. And then either Anna or Evan comes in. But here's the problem. Anna will come in. She wants a snack. Evan comes in. He goes looking at stuff, opening stuff, checking stuff out. And about the time my good daughter catches up with him, you know, she didn't have anything to do. She's carrying a baby, has three or four other kids with her. She's kind of corralling them all, bringing them into my office because they come there for chocolate. Evan is gone. He's in another county. By the way, it's funny, but daughter, it's not always funny, is it? Because he's quick. By the way, let's look what it says. They couldn't find Jesus. They just assumed, by the way, they just assumed Evan was with the rest of the kids. Boy, that's a bad assumption. Verse 44, but they, supposing him to be in the company, went a day's journey. They just went out another day and realized, and it says, and then they sought him among their kinfolk, meaning people that were related to them in some way, and their people they knew. That Greek word means to know. The people they were acquainted with. They went to Jerusalem not only with their family, their personal family, and the broader family, even with other people, my guess is from the local synagogue where they grew up, the whole group probably as much as possible went down to Jerusalem, and they went there as a group. It's much safer. You go there with people. And when you read the Psalms, you find the same thing in your notes. Psalm 120 to 134, you already know this, are pilgrim psalms. They are psalms given for us to ascend up to Jerusalem. Now, obviously, you and I are not going to the literal Jerusalem today, though that would be okay for a vacation. It would be beautiful. No, but we are going to the heavenly Jerusalem, Hebrews chapter 12, and Revelation 21, sooner or later, we'll be in the new Jerusalem. So the similar concepts. In these psalms, you have psalms for me, meaning me as an individual, and psalms for us, because you go up there, but you go with people. So yes, some of it's going to be about me and my issues and my burdens, certainly in my joys, but some of it is also going to be about us, because you don't go there alone. Let me ask you, maybe some of you men, Dada, maybe you have to do this, Cliff, I don't know. I don't like to eat alone at a restaurant. Can you do that? When you're out, do you eat out by yourself? You have to. Dada, is that same with you? I hate to eat alone. You know, for me, if I'm going to eat alone, I go to a place, if Jenny isn't home and she hadn't cooked food, I buy the food and go home. I just don't like to eat alone. It's the nature of eating for me. I want to eat with somebody and talk and listen and have conversation. By the way, how do you want to worship God without people? It's like, Lord, I love you, but I hate these people. It's like, it doesn't work that way. Can I say this? Do I love everybody in this room? Well, pretty much everybody. Maybe not Robert back here, but pretty much everybody else. Do you know what makes you smile is when you walk into a room, it's God's people, it's the people you love. You know, you see Carly back there. I love to see Carly. She's sweet. I didn't even get a single amen out of that. Carly, what's going on back there? I love to see the folks here, don't you? By the way, and when they're gone, I miss people. You say, why? We do this together. The Psalms, the Pilgrim Psalms, they have a portion that deals with me, and there's a portion that deals with us, because we're not going there alone. We're going with God's people. A local church, and it might be more than that, family, friends, etc. In your notes. So these are Pilgrim Psalms. Psalms for me, and also Psalms for us. And Psalms, and this is, you have to keep your notice this, Psalms that alternate between the individual and the group, almost to the place of driving you crazy sometimes. So it goes back and forth. It's about, you know, I'm talking, we're talking, read with me. Psalm 123. Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. That's me, singular. Behold, as the eyes of the servants look upon the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of the maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so now we've gone to the plural. Our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon, by the way, friends, look at me. This has to be your DNA or it isn't. Sometime you realize I'm either part of something or I'm not. And for me, a long time ago, I realized I'm part of something. When I go home tonight, you say, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to get something to eat. Then I'm going to talk and complain about how cold it is. Then I'm going to call Chuck Ells, and then I'm going to stop complaining about how cold it is, because it's not cold here at all. You know, by the way, he lives so far north, nobody even knows people live up there, okay? When you live up by Duluth, by the way, it's cold in July in Duluth. It's terrible. Then I'll talk to DWAR. By the way, it's colder in Iowa than it is here. Yes, it's always an us. And by the way, that us can be here, but it extends. I got to talk to Romeo Mendoza not too long back. By the way, is he still part of us? Yeah, he is for me. I talked to Tony Cardenas. He's part. By the way, it's just people are us. It's who we are. It's weird. Isn't it weird? There are people that if you see them after 10 years, it's like you haven't missed a day. When DMAR was here, when we did the special service for Heidi, it's like he's always been here. He shows up sometimes on Wednesday night. When he can, it's like, yes, there's an us. Let's keep reading. Have mercy. By the way, there's nothing wrong with praying about have mercy on me. But it's also good to say have mercy on us, O Lord. Have mercy on us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease and with the contempt of the proud. Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thy ear be attentive to the voice of my supplication. Let Israel hope in the Lord. This is beautiful stuff. For with, you just move from me. What happened there? All of a sudden we're with Israel again. And then in verse 8 it says, and he shall redeem Israel. What about me? Well, you're part of it. You see, it's always personal, but yet communal. There's both sides. There's a me, there's an us. And that's a beautiful thing, a very beautiful thing. Well, I think, obviously, if you're a believer, which I believe most of us would be, ascending not only up to Jerusalem, not only up in obedience, not only up among others, but up with God and with singing. Look at me, friend. I cannot make you, and I'm not talking about being a good singer. I showed my wife some singing from Wales. By the way, Pastor Kwok, you like men singing, don't you? I'm assuming everybody in this room knows the greatest men's voices courses on earth are Welsh. Do you not know this? They do things that normal humans can't do. Jenny, you've been listening. By the way, all you need to do is YouTube the Welsh national anthem. You won't understand a word because it's in Welsh. And hear a stadium at soccer games sing a song in four-part harmony, the stadium. Not singers, people. By the way, why? Because music lifts you. Friend, as we ascend up with God and with singing, singing has to be part, and it doesn't have to be singing like I have a great ability to sing. It's speaking the Word of God to yourself, the Word of God becoming your songs, the Word of God becoming your strength. Read with me, and we'll conclude tonight. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand. By the way, you already went from I to R. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together, whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, into the testimony of Israel, for the purpose of to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. Psalm 121, I will lift up mine eyes into the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. This is almost different. He's not speaking to himself. He's like he's speaking to a friend. Wow. Verse 4, behold, he that keepeth Israel. Do you not know he shall neither slumber nor sleep? Verse 5, the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day. That's second person singular. The psalmist is speaking to someone else, encouraging them, as opposed to just doing it alone. Wow. The Lord shall preserve thee. But not talking to himself directly, to someone else. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Here it is, friend. Genetics, DNA, part of your habits. I'll ask the question and I'm done. Everyone look at me. Do different families have different habits? We're not talking about bad or good. Every family has their own way of doing things. If you get around me and you get around, by the way, if you know me and if you've listened to my terrible humor, all you got to do is meet my two sisters and you say they have the same humor. And then you meet my mother, it's like, oh, by the way, we ought to have this as our DNA. Ascending up to Jerusalem. Ascending up in obedience. Assembling up among others. Assembling up with God and with singing. That's the way to get to the New Jerusalem. Father, thank you for your word. Bless it to us this night in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all